wondering, speaking from general ignorance about 19th century, right, is there something that's particularly gendered about the picturesque as well? Because earlier you mentioned that a lot of people, critics have read her as being kind of hypochondriac, which does seem to speak to that, and also the episodes you mentioned where she adopts the child, and the mother is coddling the care of him for several days. All this kind of seems to speak to a kind of transculturation that is really kind of gendered in a particular way. So I was wondering if that had, if that can play at all to the argument regarding that capitalism, or not so much the critical assumption.
That's a great question. You know, I have to think more about this. There certainly is, sorry, you might correct me about this, in the picturesque and the gendering of the picturesque, there certainly is something going on there. I'm not quite sure whether that necessarily translates into a feminization of the landscape. Quite often, in other words, I do not want to homogenize the picturesque. For instance, that mode, sorry, I have to go back. So that mode, for instance, of the sublime mountains and the forest comes right out of, you know, German romantic traditions. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure whether you can, amongst other things, I'm not sure you can, it's certainly gendered, and typically it's inhabited by the lonely male philosopher gazing at the mountain, for instance. Here it's absent, this is a later photograph. As opposed to that mode, the ruins in the foreground there quite often will have, in the paintings and in the photographs, at least about the Indian ruins, quite often will have stray female figures in the front associated with the ruins. Not so much in the back, which is Taj, which is still quite an sort of icon. So there is certainly gendering going on. I'm not sure. I don't want to say that picturesque equals feminization of landscape. Whether that equates with the critique of capitalism is a very interesting and complicated question that I do not have the answer for right now because I haven't thought about it. I suspect it does. In what ways? I'll have to, I guess, talk to you and think through the stuff. But yeah, thanks for asking me.
Starvation sort of dehumanizes these people, and she starts to refer to them as its. And then you mentioned her speaking of baby in terms of my baby. Mm. And so I was wondering if she ever called the baby an it. Mm-hmm. And also, like, does her sort of adoption of this child, does it result from sort of like tenderness or her sort of seeing what's going on in this situation? Or I think you mentioned the coming motherhood or the colonial. So could it also be seen as analogous to the sort of appropriation of like land and the produce and other people that she sometimes sort of writes against?
Yes, definitely. I think you're right about that. She does talk about the baby in terms of it, and she does talk about, you know, her mother as well. It's quite interesting what actually happens to the baby. I've often in my sort of spare moments, I thought about writing a novel about what happens to this baby. Because what actually happens with this baby is she drops out. We don't know what it is. I think it's a she, because she keeps calling it in. She drops out of the narrative altogether. She just says, I gave it to Rosina, her servant. That's the last we hear about. So I don't know whether Rosina left the camp with it, or Rosina threw it away, fed it to the jackals. I don't know. I mean, there's a whole different thing there that she refuses to talk about. She faced quite a lot of criticism, kind of sort of within her camp, about associating so closely with an Indian baby. And I suspect the giving away has something to do with it, if at all it was given away. Because what happens to Rosina is she too is chucked out of the camp and she treks back to Calcutta, which is a long way away, with the baby. And now it may have, you know, I don't know whether she brought it up or not. In other words, there is, if you ever think about writing a Booker Prize winning novel, start there. Whether it has something to do with imperial motherhood, it certainly does. She projects, her writing gets shriller and shriller. Every time she crosses a famine zone, or on this occasion, she tries to convince herself that she is a force for the good, and she's a part of a whole setup that's working for the good of these people. At the same time, she sees that clearly people are dropping dead around her, the whole entire province is impoverished. She keeps saying, oh, here we go again with our 12,000 camels and elephants, that we're destroying this province, blah, 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 blah. And she said, and there's a compensatory gesture. If only I can save this baby, if only I can take care of this, everything else I'll see might start to make sense. I can actually believe in the mission that I'm on. But of course, she gives it away. And what happens to that baby is as I say, it's you know, speculative. I don't know. But it captures for me the perfect paradox of this, you know, the whole discourse about imperial motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have this thing that you want to take care of desperately. And she's genuine about her writing, I think. She's not, you know, just writing it to her sister who's at home. She's
mm-hmm.
she's anguished about the baby. But the anguish is also about how this baby has been produced, namely by her and her brother's presence in northern India. That's why the baby is here. So it's that, you know, a crass comparison is, I was thinking about this last, you know, in England, all the tabloids and the newspapers, all the headlines have been Madonna's adoption crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about a crass comparison about Malawi and Madonna. And Steve Bell had a very, very funny article about Madonna's imperial motherhood in Africa not so long ago. So, yeah, I guess it certainly has. It just brings out the paradox.
When you're talking about Dickens and her liking the book and for me, I was just wondering if there's a relationship between Dickens' writing, the stylistic aspects you were talking about, that's not normally part of the picturesque, and that relationship of that to novels.